You're listening to a Chicks Talking Footy podcast on Joy 94.9. We are chicks serious about footy.
No, we're not.
What I would like to introduce now is really one of the main reasons that AFLW even exists. We are delighted to welcome Jan Cooper to the show. Hello, Jan.
Oh, hi, Moddy. Thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure. let's dive straight into what does it mean to you to be the AFLW Premiership Cup ambassador?
I was extremely humbled, and I feel very privileged because so much of what has gone on in the past has been about a group and a cohort of very passionate people, and I've really just been the face of that in many respects. So I feel extremely privileged to have been given the honour.
Actually, Jan, I read Sam Lane's book, It's Fiona Here, last year. last year, the Raw book she put out, and I learnt a lot more detail about, I guess the campaigning you did for the women's game. And I read an article today too that, I'll just read a line out. It says, Cooper had previously described how several years ago now she approached a number of AFL club CEOs to gauge their enthusiasm about supporting their own women's teams. The feeling back then, in her words, was categorically no. It was seen as a fancy, too costly, and with next to no financial reward. So, my question is, what was it like at that stage where it wasn't cool and sexy to be talking about women's football like it is now, to be butting your head against, those attitudes?
Well, I suppose a couple of things. Because it was a collective and there were so many passionate drivers, and at that point there were employed state-based female managers charged with developing the game. So I sort of thought, well, we're in this together. We were feeding off each other. There was so much good sharing of models of best practice. And when times were tough, we leaned on each other to put our chin off our chest and get the tail from between our legs and stand up strong again. So if it wasn't for that cohesive collective, I think a whole lot of us would have walked away from the game. But the other thing that also, I guess, kept me personally going was that I kind of understood that this was going to be problematic and that people didn't have an appetite, and they weren't going to ever have an appetite until they actually saw the best female footballers running around. And I kind of thought once they saw, the likes of the Chelsea Randalls and the Daisy Pierces and, all of those really incredible women footballers, that the penny would then drop and they would, and more importantly than that, actually meeting them and hearing their passion for the game and understanding that they absolutely adored the code, and that was why they were involved in AFL, because they loved the game. So I thought, well, yeah, one door closes, goes somewhere else, and it, eventually, here we are at AFLW Season 3.
So you say eventually, Jan, but it actually went reasonably rapidly from that point. Were you surprised how quickly, one, the AFL announced it, and two, it's been embraced and adopted?
Well, because I was Perth-based when I was working for the AFL, I was a little bit shocked. I think it was actually Sam Lane that sent me a link to Gillon McLachlan, who was the, CEO of AFL, announcing that this was going to happen. And my first thought was, holy Hannah, what are you doing, Gillon? I had heart palpitations, and I thought, you can't do this yet. We haven't reached, some of the key milestones that we wanted to reach. And 5 minutes later, I thought, oh, actually, yes, we have, because the original vision, which was set in 2010, was that we would have 250,000 girls and women running around in the game. And if we had that many, we thought we could have the depth of talent to have maybe a 4 or 6 team national league. So when I calmed myself down and I looked at the census data from the year before and thought, oh, there we go, we've surpassed the 250,000. At that point, I think we had something like 380,000 running around. So it was like, yes, Gillon, good work. And with the backing of the CEO, then things were going to happen. So some of the folk that were charged with putting the first comp together, Season 1, when they were sort of then a bit sceptical, it was like, well, actually just be a little bit brave. If we don't start now, when will we start? And what is the best time? So let's just get it going and see what happens from there. And I don't think season one was a disaster, so we move on with great positivity.
We're speaking with Jan Cooper, the AFLW Premiership Cup Ambassador. Jan, it's Bree here. So the competition is copping some flack still on social media. What do you say to those critics that say women shouldn't be playing AFL?
Well, they obviously haven't met anybody who is playing AFL, because if they did, then they would understand the passion the women have for the game. And it's season three, for goodness sake. I mean, it's still in its infancy. And I think if you sit in the terraces of any game, the joy of watching AFLW is that females, little, you know, tackers running around, and young boys, actually now have an understanding of who the best female players are, and particularly for younger girls. Being able to look at those wonderful female role models is, I think, what makes my heart spring with joy, is because when you ask them, who's your favourite player, and when that was done 5 years ago, it would generally be a male, which is fine, but now when you ask them, who's your favourite player, and they can reel off a whole, you know, breed of women's names, that to me is gold, because you can't be what you can't see, and now these young girls can see these wonderful female role models. So I think that's brilliant for our communities.
It really is, isn't it? And I think it's also so personally invigorating to see the players who are warm and approachable and open and clearly enjoying themselves. And it's like, and I've often wondered, is it because they were people first before footballers? Rather, if you look at the male game, they're in train to be footballers from the age of, you know, 10. And I wonder if it's just because it is late that we're seeing more of them as people.
Well, I think you've got a point there. And because the National League is still in its infancy, I think there's a degree of gratefulness across particularly the older players who would have loved to have been able to play this and be household names and on TV and really challenge themselves in the code. And I think they thought, for some of them, you know, like the Astor O'Connors and the Lauren Arnells, that that might have passed them by. So for them to actually get a crack at this and still be running around in season three, I'm really pleased that all of their work behind the scenes and all of their, you know, on-grass skill and all the training that they put in to be the players that they are, and the Katie Brennans and Melissa Hickeys and that, they've been given this opportunity. But I think sometimes I look at the male pathway and I think, have we sucked the fun out of it for the men in our game? Is the only fun now for them actually winning? Does that, some of that go by the wayside because of the scrutiny that they're under around their performance? Because I think at the moment for our women, yes, they're under more scrutiny than they were when they were amateur players, but I still think there's that great degree of camaraderie and fun that is injected through all of the AFLW teams that perhaps doesn't exist to the same extent in some of the AFL teams.
Yeah, and look, going back to what you were saying before about, you know, people just need to see women playing football. I mean, I've been watching the women's football when it was just those exhibition games between the Bulldogs and the Demons, and I remember going to one game where it was the women's game was so much more fun and exciting to watch than when the men played. And then, you know, that night at Witten Oval where it was the, it was kind of a State of Origin or All Stars night, and there was about 7,000 or 8,000 people there. And you know, we were in the grandstand, part of those people that were applauding Susan Alberti as she walked up the stairs, and they just felt like there was a real momentum, you know, behind everything. And then, you know, to see this season, the skill level's just gone up again, and we're now seeing those girls, you know, come right through the pathway. So it's an exciting time for women's football. But one question I have is, you know, the conference system's been copping a bit of flak. What's your thoughts around the conference system?
Well, I like the conference system because I see sort of what it does in other codes around the world. But I think what perhaps was the sticking point was, if you looked at the player lists, they weren't the right mix of conferences. Yes, you have to have Crows close to Frio. You have to have Lions and Giants on the same conference. But I think perhaps some of the others could have been levelled out a little bit more. But I actually like the conference model, and I'm hoping that people will give it a go. And it, I don't know what it's going to look like in 2020. And, of course, my club, West Coast Eagles, is waiting patiently to work out or to see what's going to unfold there. But I do like the conference system, and I think if it means that we can play some home and away games among a small cohort to start with and then do some crossover finals later on for the better two teams or whatever, then that's a good thing. I will say that Eric McKenzie, who's part of our strength and conditioning, he said... I like the conference model too, he says. But he said, can we not look at NFL and be a little bit flexible? So instead of looking at the top two from each conference, NFL always takes the top of any conference and then it's rated on where they finish overall. So, for example, if you were looking at how it is currently, then top of conference B and top of conference A are givens, but second and third in conference A would then be make up the rest of the finals team, which, given how they're situated currently, then that would be a good move.
A bit more fair.
I think just give it a go. You know, it's in its infancy again, and let's see how it unfolds over a number of years instead of smashing it year one.
Yeah, well, our very own Bree McCauley had the same suggestion, so there you go.
Oh, good work, Bree.
Yeah. I suggested the next teams underneath the winners of each conference should be ranked based on their finishing position, so then they make up the rest of the finals.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bree. Yep. Yeah, I think that's a perhaps a better model.
She's our champion data.
I mean, some of the maybe the key to the whole thing that you said in your last couple of sentences there was that it's in its infancy. So to expect any major corporation to get their new product right, and just call it a product within a 3 year space of time is I think they're doing pretty well overall.
And you know, I don't know much about change management, but I know that research has shown that there's a particular lifespan before change really starts to be seen, and I don't think it's 3 years. So I think it's more than that. So I think we just have to give it the time and see how it develops. I will say that one thing that I don't particularly aren't supportive of is sticking AFLX right in the middle. Doing that for season two of AFLW, I don't think was a very prudent move. And then even though the product looked quite different this year, I'm still thinking, well, is that really the right thing? If you are, on one hand, having a national league in its infancy, would it not be more prudent to sort of let it run its course a bit more and give it a bit of clear space rather than graying the boundaries with AFLX? But I'll be guided by the fans because, they're the ones who will dictate whether that's the wrong move or not.
We'll definitely be dissecting that later on in the show as well.
We certainly will, and I tend to agree with you. Jan, we could speak all night, but unfortunately we're going to have to let you go. But we'd love another perhaps chat later in the season. We're on air till October, so we might just randomly call you one night for a bit more of your chat.
So, feel free, girls. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Great.
We enjoyed it too.
Thank you so much, Jan Cooper, for being with us on Chicks Talking Footy.